In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. At the beginning of chapter 6, events from the feeding and salvation from the sea are joined together. Jesus demonstrates his authority in two miracles in today's gospel. The feeding of the multitudes is the only miracle told in all four gospels. Perhaps for this reason, this story has such a secure place in all of our hearts because of the Eucharistic theme which it carries. Jesus' action over the bread is one of giving thanks, in the Greek word Eucharistio, rather than the word blessing. We too participate in Eucharisteo, at communion, and in life, if we so choose. Jesus asks Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Jesus asked this to test him, as he already knew what he was going to do. Andrew piped up with suggestion that there was a boy there with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Philip failed the test of knowing who Jesus was and what he could do. He failed to remember that Jesus had turned water into wine. Had he remembered that, he would have known that Jesus had a plan and would provide for all. So the question becomes for us today, how do we survive the test, and how do we recognize Jesus? We, as God's children, are being tested in similar ways. What God is looking for in all of us is faith. It's trust in God that he will be loyal to his people. We are his people, and he will love and care for us. But, isn't there always a but? How often do we fail to see what God is really doing through us? Think about the 2 recent mission trips recently taken by the people here at St. Peter's, both adults and youth. They built a house and spread the word and love of God to those in need. As God's children, they have a deep faith and know that God loves them. So in turn, they go out into the world and spread the word and love of God to others. So back to the gospel. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. They were all full, and 12 baskets of food were left over. Here we see the same gracious abundance as in the provision of 100 gallons of wine at the wedding. It's a sign of Jesus' identity and the Father's thoughtful gifts. When the people saw Jesus, they knew indeed that he was the prophet about to come into the world. However, showing us nourishment for our physical lives is, in a sense, a sign for need of nourishment in the deeper sense. How do we do that? Here at this altar rail, or the one higher, where I've been since I was 10 years old on and off through the years, I learned about nourishment. I learned about nourishment at St. Philip's in Coral Gables, and in New York at General Seminary, and now here again, back at St. Peter's, and perhaps at other parishes in the future. When I come into this church every Sunday, I feel my faith. I feel my God, and I feel nourished. Over time, and in all these years, I've learned what it means to worship both alone and in community. There is a time and place for both, but on Sunday today, we worship here together. We listen and pray together. We talk to God, and through all of our trials and tribulations, we still come together for the word and love of God. We stand here during communion, seeking another kind of spiritual nourishment. We seek prayers for healing from our sisters and brothers right here, together. I do know God. I recognize him for all the good works I have seen him do, and I recognize him from all the storms in my life from which he has rescued me. I have faith in and I love God. I am a child of God. So too are you. Our own presiding bishop, Michael Curry, preaches the Jesus movement. He wants us to know Jesus and to love him. He wants us to love each other and our neighbors as ourselves. The gospel of today teaches us about a second miracle, the one of salvation from the sea. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the boat, rowed about 3 or 4 miles toward Capernaum. But Jesus had not joined them yet. As they rowed, a sudden storm arose, and the sea became rough with a violent wind blowing. Suddenly they saw Jesus walking toward them on the sea, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "Ego eimi, I am. It is I. Do not be afraid." The disciples wanted to take him into the boat, and suddenly the boat reached land in the direction they were rowing. This is truly a Jesus story. As some of you know, I lived in Coral Gables, Florida for about 30 years. Back in the 80s, three friends and I bought a used sailboat, a real beauty, a 49-foot Morgan with teak decking. We sailed her every weekend in the waters out of Miami, to Key West, to the Bahamas, and sometimes just 3 miles out for a sunset sail on a lazy Sunday afternoon. We encountered many storms during those years aboard ship and many close calls over that time. One time, there were just the three of us on board sailing on that lazy Sunday afternoon. In the space of 5 minutes, the sky changed from a brilliant sunny blue to a purpley black nothing. All of a sudden, we were in the middle of a roaring thunderstorm. The wind kicked up, and I immediately knew we were in big-time trouble. The three of us got it into gear, took down the sails, and tried to head to shore. We didn't get far. The sea was roaring, the thunder was so loud, we couldn't hear each other, and we were scared. It was so dark, we could hardly see. We held on to each other and prayed to God to save us. One friend was from India and prayed in Hindi. The other from Puerto Rico and prayed in Spanish. And then there was me. We often told and retold that story of the afternoon we almost died. I know beyond a doubt that God got into that boat that afternoon, as we all did survive. After a few minutes, the wind died down, but the waves were still angry and crashing over the boat, over the bow. We thought that there was a good chance we would capsize. At a time like this, there was nothing to do. The weather had the upper hand, so we waited out the storm. We survived and found that when we reached shore, other sailors were not as fortunate, and one person had indeed drowned in the rogue storm. So you see, I really love this gospel. I relate to it in many profound and spiritual ways. I know without a doubt that God got into our boat that lazy Sunday afternoon. What does this story say about the disciples and about all of us? This is the story of Jesus coming to the disciples at a rough time in a miraculous way, coming up alongside them, joining them and getting them through the storm in the boat. This, my sisters and brothers, is the story of Jesus getting into our boat and giving us peace even in the midst of storm in our lives. When we have Jesus, we have everything that we need. The disciples didn't seem to be worried that Jesus was not with them when the weather was fine. But when the storm arose, they willingly received him. The Lord promises that he will draw near to us if we draw near to him. The Gospel of John tells us that when Jesus entered the ship, suddenly the ship was at land. Everything changed because of the presence of Jesus. Both the ship and the storm tells a story. They help to teach the disciples the importance of his presence. Do we find ourselves in the midst of trial and storm? I think yes. If we seek the Lord, his presence will make all the difference in our world. Follow the path of the beating of your chest, and God will be with you. Be kind and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do this, you will find the moments of the gifts of grace each day as the ache of this wounded world needs love. In the words of the Viennese poet W.H. Auden, we must love each other or die. Amen.